Hello, it's Ed Gamble here from the Off-Menu podcast that you're currently listening to. I am on tour now. The show is called Hot Diggity Dog. Make sure you go and get yourself a ticket. I'm probably coming to a town near you if you live in the UK and Ireland. And Ireland, Dublin and Belfast. Do go to edgamble.co.uk, buy yourself a ticket, and I'll see you for an evening of Hot Diggity Dog.
Hot Diggity Dog!
Thank you, James.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/comedy ad free. That's Amazon.com/comedy ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to the Off-Menu podcast, taking the rice of conversation, laying over the raw fish of humour, wrapping in the seaweed of the internet and dipping it in the soy sauce of good fun. Sushi.
Ed Gamble there. My name is James Acaster. This is the Off-Menu podcast. We own a dream restaurant and we invite a guest in every week and ask them their favourite ever starter, main course, dessert, side dish and drink, aka their dream meal. Not in that order. And this week, our guest is...
Richard E. Grant. Here we are. We're back in the treasure chest.
Oh, look at us. Look at us. We've dug up some more national treasure.
Yes, please.
Very exciting. Obviously, Richard E. Grant needs no introduction. He's in so many wonderful, iconic things. And he soon has a new book out, A Pocket Full of Happiness. It's a memoir. It's out tomorrow. And we're going to be asking him about that in the podcast. Very excited that he's on. I mean, Too Many of the List is his films, his iconic film roles.
Basically, this whole interview is going to be me trying to not do with Nell and I quotes.
Yes. I might try not to ask about Spice World, the movie.
If you could.
Yes. I'll try,
yeah.
But if spices come up...
Spice might come up.
We'll talk about food.
But what's going to come up with, you know, he might... What, does he want wine? Does he want the finest wines available to humanity?
Oh, yeah. Then we're in trouble.
Yeah, then we're in trouble, yeah.
Then you got to bite your tongue there. We'll see. We'll see what happens. Yeah. Of course, you know, hopefully we'll get that far. Because, like, obviously if Richard says a secret ingredient which we deem to be unacceptable...
Yeah.
We are going to kick him out the dream restaurant, as is the rule for every
guest. Yes.
And this week, the secret ingredient is...
Lighter fluid. Of course, another With Nell and I reference.
They drink it in With Nell and I.
Yes.
So, therefore, counts as an ingredient.
Yeah. Sometimes we pick these because they're relevant to people's work. Sometimes we pick them because they're ingredients we don't like. Sometimes it's because we don't want them to be kicked out.
Yeah, and we're pretty sure. If Richard E. Grant says, to start, I'd like a shot of lighter fluid.
Yeah.
Then I think...
He deserves to be kicked out.
Yeah, people be like, oh, fair enough.
Yeah, get him out.
They had to do that, even though it's a national treasure.
Yeah.
Because he shouldn't be drinking lighter fluid.
I'm so excited to meet Richard E. Grant.
Very excited. Who thought that when this bunch of idiots sitting around this table here started a food podcast that we would get to speak to so many national treasures?
And yeah.
Richard E. Grant would sit down with us and tell us his favourite foods.
This series, we've had Lenny Henry and Richard E. Grant.
Pinch me. I mean...
I will not.
Ed refuses to do anything that might hurt me. That's how much he cares about me.
I'll kiss you. I won't pinch you. Who would have thunk it? Richard E. Grant on our little pod.
We should point out as well, Ed is drunk.
Well, you're just leaving massive pauses, so whenever I say anything, it makes me sound like I'm drunk.
Yeah, we've recorded quite a few today.
I'm drunk with pod.
And we've had so much pod, and now we're going to interview a national treasure, and I keep on powering down, and then Ed has to fill the silences by saying...
Who'd have thunk it?
Who'd have thunk it? I mean, you know, Benito can edit out the silences, and it can just seem like it's...
Yeah.
Like that is you shouting "Who'd have thunk it" over and over again.
Maybe I will get drunk now.
Yeah. Well, let's see.
After Richard E. Grant.
Yeah, after Richard E. Grant.
I don't think there's many national treasures left after...
Attenborough. Let's get on with it. Here we go. It is the off-menu menu of...
Richard E. Grant. Welcome, Richard, to the Dream Restaurant.
Thank you.
Welcome, Richard E. Grant, to the Dream Restaurant. We've been expecting you for some time.
Here we are.
Thank you.
Lovely to have you in the Dream Restaurant. In your dream dining scenario, is there anything that you would love to see around you? What's the setting like?
Oh, to be at the seaside.
Yeah?
Oh,
yeah.
Lovely.
Anywhere have I said a word that is a banned word already?
Not at all.
I mean, I can be ejected seated like Demetna. Okay. No, anywhere by the sea. That's what I'd like to eat.
A UK seaside spot?
I would go anywhere where there is water, yeah.
And are you outside for the meal?
Depending on how cold it is, yes, as close to the water as possible.
I'm going to not even ask you, but I'm going to take the liberty of getting rid of all the seagulls in that case.
Okay.
Because I don't want you having your dream meal under constant threat of seagull theft.
I'm very, very greedy, so I would take on a seagull.
You could take on a seagull?
Yeah, I would. I'd have a machete down my back, ready to pull out.
Could you reintroduce one seagull? Because I'd love to see
that. Yeah, there's one seagull, and it's the seagull from The Little Mermaid. What's it called?
Oh, I don't know.
Well, it's a popular character, going to be voiced by Awkwafina in the film.
Right. Well, of course, it would have very good manners and befriend me and come sit at the end of the table.
Yes.
And I'd feed it, my leftovers.
This is nice. You're by the sea.
Yeah.
Would you dine alone for your dream meal, or do you like company?
I'm very greedy, and the idea of a sharing plate to me was one of the great culinary disasters of the last... Two decades.
Popular. So widespread now, the sharing plate.
I hate it.
Yeah.
I don't like sitting on a bench. I don't sharing a plate. I want everything that is in front of me on my plate. And I've had to restrain myself from stabbing fellow diners who have reached over and said, oh, could I just have a taste of that? I said, no, I'd rather order you an entire plate of it and I will pay for it, even if you take one bite. But do not mess with mine.
Oh, I mean, we're so on the same page, Richard.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
People say, could I just have one of your chips? And they go, oh, I'm on a diet. No, fuck off. Just let me eat what I've ordered. Don't give me a sharing plate.
And you got the machete now, so...
Yeah, I have. Yeah.
But you hate sharing, Ed, but you also... You hate it if someone orders the same thing as you.
I do.
Oh.
So Ed's like impossible to please.
Correct.
So how do you feel about people who envy what you've ordered and said, oh, I should have ordered that, and the hand is reaching over.
Machete.
The paw is ready. Yeah, going to your
hand
plate.
Hand straight off.
Oh, we're on the
same
page. I love
it when people envy what I've ordered.
Yeah.
Because then I can feel like I know what I'm talking about.
Well, before you were born, there was a French and Saunders comedy team of two female comics that had a sketch where two schoolgirls and one had, a big chocolate something, and the other one was edging towards her to try and get a little bite. And as she got within inches of her, Jennifer Saunders' character just stuffed the whole thing into her mouth, and I thought, that's me. I identify with that completely.
Before you were born, Ed, that's a compliment.
Yes, thank you.
That you were both very young. Saunders.
How old do you think we are, Richard?
25.
Oh. Well, both of us.
Yeah.
I love it. I'm 36.
I'm 37.
Well... Listeners, they're using donkey sperm treatment to keep their skin as taut as I don't know what
Please,
to mention.
Don't give away our secrets.
Okay.
Yeah.
We told you when you came into the studio, we said ignore the donkey in the corner.
Yeah.
Okay.
Ignore the donkey.
No, you're looking marvellous.
I put it all over our faces.
Very good lighting. You've both got your own hair and teeth, so
I'm
envious.
Are you much of a foodie, Richard, in general?
Yes. Have you ever had somebody who's come onto your show that doesn't like food? I mean, there are lots of things I don't like to eat, but I love cooking and I love eating.
Well, before we started recording, there's a brief conversation you were having with the great Benito about Withnail and I, And one of the bits of movement that I always think about whenever I see anyone eat an egg sandwich is the bit at the beginning when they bite into the egg sandwich and then the yolk just pours out of the back of it like that.
Oh, yeah.
And it's when he's really depressed in London, his eyes need to get out of here, and he sees that happen. And I just think about it every time. Every time I'm eating an egg sandwich or anything like that, I think about that. And
how often are you eating a soft fried egg sandwich?
Do you know what? Not as much anymore.
Yeah.
Right. Not as much as when it was before I saw that film.
Because you're so rich now.
So I'm rich as hell, but also because that film, which I saw before I was so rich, made me think, egg sandwiches are gross. Like it just.
I agree with you.
It suddenly represented despair for me.
It's very like interesting because I heard you mention that just then, the egg sandwich, and I thought, oh, he's going to say it makes him love an egg sandwich.
Yeah,
because I love a fried egg sandwich, the pop. When you bite into it and you feel the yolk pop and it dribbles out, I love that.
Yeah, but can you eat an egg and cress cold sandwich, which is like a fart between two slices
of white? I'm not a fan of egg and cress.
We're bonding enormously already.
We
have to catch up, you and I, Blondie.
Yeah, listen, slow and steady wins the race. I'm going to be there by the end.
You can get there.
This is hair and tortoise stuff. Also very excited to talk about your new book.
Thank
you. A Pocket Full of Happiness, a memoir. It's quite a personal book.
It came about because on New Year's Day at the beginning of this year, I posted posted a video on social media in which I had said that my late wife had said to me 4 days before she died, at the end of September 2021, I know that you'll be sad, but try and find a pocket full of happiness in each day. And that really has been a sort of a Hallmark card, corny as it may sound. My daughter and I have found it really useful to try and, you know, get over the canyon of grief that you have to navigate your way through on a daily basis, to find something that is going to make you happy. So you guys are my pocketful today, far.
No pressure.
Yeah,
no, I'm the pocketful of happiness.
Yeah, so it's a memoir that, you know, begins with, you know, when she was diagnosed and ends when she died, and then seesaws back in time to how we first met and our combined careers over 40 years. So, you know, lots of showbiz stuff in amongst all the other. So
wow. And did you find that writing it sometimes, that was the bit of happiness you found each day, was like writing about that memory?
Well, when my literary agent called and said at the beginning of January that a publisher had asked if I would write a memoir, I immediately said no. And then my daughter wisely said, I think that this will help you because it'll force you to get out of, you know, your own head and going down the rabbit hole of grief. And it proved absolutely right. So I'm very grateful. But I didn't make a riser with her that I said, in order not to jeopardize my relationship with her, my daughter, I would write the whole thing out first, make an agreement with the publisher that I wouldn't take a penny of the advance until my daughter had read it and either vetoed a section or the whole thing. And they willingly took that risk, for which I'm very grateful. And she read it, kept me waiting for 3 days. And I thought, bloody hell, I speak to her twice a day. I've absolutely blobbed. And then she said, there's one paragraph that I want changed because the person who will read it could interpret it in a way that they could see as being critical.
Mm-hmm.
So she was protecting somebody. And she said, you got the surname of one of my friends wrong. It's missing an S. And that was it. So I thought,
that's not bad for notes, really, is it?
I was pretty absolutely good. Amazed. So she said, no, you've absolutely captured what, you know, your wife, her mum was like, and what your relationship was and all of that stuff and your career. So she said, you know, warts and all, it's good. So I got the go-ahead from her, which is why I'm now sitting here all these months later.
Does food ever represent the pocket full of happiness in a day?
Oh, God, yes. And the first time I mutually seduced my wife and I when we first met in 1983, she invited me around for dinner because she was an accent speech teacher. And I'd done a series of regional accents with her at the Actors Centre at the end of 1982 after I just emigrated from Swaziland. And she then said, oh, well, I'm coaching on a play at the Royal Shakespeare Company that requires a Siswati speaker, and you're the only person that I know that speaks Siswati, so, which is a click language. And so I went round for dinner, and she cooked beef bourguignon, which was absolutely delicious. And I didn't go home that night. So it began like that. And the last meal I cooked for her was chicken soup. So, life and food.
Yeah.
And when I met her, I couldn't boil an egg. And she gave me, you know, I'd grown up in the colonies. You didn't need to cook for yourself. You know, the lad did our life. So she gave me Delia Smith's How to Cook, which tells you how to boil an egg, fry an egg, scramble one. And once you've mastered that, I then learned very quickly how to cook properly and now love doing it.
Thank you, Delia.
Yeah. Thank you, Delia.
I need to meet an accent coach.
Oh, no.
Why? Well, you know, I had to go to my wife to learn how to do the R, the way you do your R's, because I played Michael Heseltine in The Iron Lady with Meryl Streep, and I had to do the V, like you speak.
Like I do, the soft R.
He really hams it up, though, don't you?
Yeah. Well, not deliberately. apparently, I do.
You do, you really put it on.
I put it on, I lay it on thick.
Yeah.
What, is it a seduction technique that you use?
Yeah, yeah. Are you feeling seduced?
Always, oh, yeah, absolutely. Pants off. Ready to go.
Why do you need to meet an accent coach, James?
Because I'm always trying to do accents on the podcast. I'm really interested in like any time an actor comes on and can do an accent, I'm jealous of them. I want to know how they do it. My brain just doesn't work that way. I can't do other accents.
Right.
And sometimes I think I just need to sit down with an accent coach, face it head on, and actually learn to do some voices besides my own. I'm going to get a kick out of it. The people are going to accent coaches to learn how to speak like me. That's topsy-turvy.
I told you I went to an accent coach once for an American accent and she had me crawling around on the floor.
Did
she? Yeah, she said it's more helpful if you crawl around on the floor. I said, well, that's not going to be very good at the audition.
What was her name?
I can't remember.
Yeah.
But she had me crawling around on the floor.
Sounds familiar.
My late wife was absolutely adamant that you didn't have to lie on the floor and think of Himalayan gusts coming up your sphincter and, you know, think of Auntie Muriel to try and, you know, reach an American accent. She gave you very specific, practical things to do, which is why she was so successful. So you've just pointed out exactly the kind of accent guru bollocks that goes on, you know, in the profession. I have the same wariness of people who say, I'm a very spiritual person. Mm-hmm. What's your star sign? And the combination of those two things usually has me, A, lying, and then running for the door.
So we always start on the dream menu with still or sparkling water?
A sparkling water, please. Ice cold with a glass full of ice. And I don't care how much water there is in there, but it has to be ice cold every day of the year.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Why? If it's not ice cold, are you just like, is it repulsive to you?
Yeah, repulsive. Yeah.
Can't go.
Everything has to be ice cold.
So, and you want in ice cubes, crushed ice?
I don't care, as long as it's absolutely, you know, brain freezingly cold.
Are you taking your time or do you go really fast and actually give yourself brain freeze?
Oh, I'll do whichever.
If the seagull's nearby.
Yeah, I'm very greedy. Yeah, I might clock the seagull with an ice cube.
Now, I don't know much about seagulls.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
I know they nick chips. I've never seen one go after someone's sparkling water.
No. Even if it's blobbing about with ice.
Yeah,
no, I don't think so.
Yeah.
You're right.
That's true. I ever see him clogging a bit of sparkling water.
Chasing someone with a Perrier down Brighton Beach.
Yeah. Have you two ever had a big fight?
Got an argument?
Yeah.
No, I don't think so.
No, I don't think we have.
Wow.
Wow.
That means there's one coming,
I think...
Well, no, I think that's wonderful that you...
I think we're quite good at seeing when one is potentially going to happen.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then the one of... I think we've been lucky that we haven't both been wound up about something at the same time and therefore an argument. So I think it's been like, it's one of us will be angry and not the other.
Yeah.
And the other one goes, I'm going to walk away from this. Yeah.
And you never do socialise outside of podcast land?
Yeah, all the time.
Oh,
yeah,
you do?
Yeah, all the time, yeah.
So I was always amazed by IAL Diamond and Billy Wilder. Mm-hmm. You know, at Some Like It Hot and Sunset Boulevard, all those movies. They used to meet in an office, I think, at 8 o'clock in the morning for something like 40 or 50 years and then would leave at 5 o'clock in the evening. They never ever socialised. They never even went into each other's houses and produced this great stuff. So I wondered whether you obviously live in each other's houses.
Well, we don't spend enough time together working for that to be necessary, I think. Because you hear about people who spend, like Penn and Teller.
Yeah.
Are on tour all the time, but they won't speak to each other outside of the show. They'll literally just walk on stage and that's the first time they will have seen each other all day.
Oh, I didn't know
apparently,
that.
Apparently, yeah. And I think Cannon and Bull were like that towards the end as well.
Can you blame them?
But that's a lot of time you're spending with someone professionally, whereas we, you know, every now and again get together and do a day where we do four podcasts. And then most of the time we spend together is social.
Yeah, most of it.
And you have partners or...?
We both got partners, yeah.
You do. And how do they cope with your friendship?
They love it.
Yeah.
They do.
Well, I don't know.
We're all big pals together.
I can speak on behalf of my partner.
Yeah, and mine.
She's all for it.
Yeah, she's...
I don't want to put words in your partner's mouth. Why do you think our friendship would be a problem to our partners?
I don't know. You know, some people can be threatened or feel left out.
Yeah.
I have no idea.
I'm not very threatening.
I just met you, so I'm just asking.
Yeah, yeah.
Curious.
He's not a threat to anyone, this guy.
And because of doing this, you know exactly what the other person doesn't like. What's the thing that you hate eating the most?
There's not a lot of things.
Yeah, it's Yorkshire puddings.
Yorkshire puddings
you don't like.
Yeah, but sometimes I really sort of amp that up because it annoys people a lot, Richard.
Right. Why is it the puffiness of them or?
Puffiness, that I just find they're quite plain. I don't think they've got much flavour. Yeah. And he's going to get angry. This annoys him. They take up a lot of real estate on the plate.
They do.
Well, it's an excuse. You can put stuff in it. So what's he saying?
Because yours is Yorkshire pudding. What's yours? What's your hate?
Hate pomegranate seeds.
Wow.
Yeah. Both of those are the most disgusting. They're gruesome twosome.
That's what I feel about chocolate and cheese.
Oh, yeah? Together? Yeah.
Oh, in either, any combination. The smell and the taste of them, absolutely. What? Abhorrent.
Now you're winding up both of us.
No, it's absolutely true.
Ed loves cheese, I love chocolate.
Rich. Tiny bit of Parmesan cheese on a Caesar salad is about as close as I can get to that smell of arse that it has. Goat's cheese is the worst.
Yeah, I'll back you.
This is the two finest things available.
Oh, chocolate
and cheese.
Chocolate is not cheese.
No.
The taste of luxury.
No, I think anything that's come out of an udder should go back in there.
Oh, yeah.
Seriously.
Do you think you could put a block of cheese back in an udder? Would you give it a go?
I'd like to, yeah, with a machete and a seagull to go with it.
That's a weird looking udder when you see that cow walking around the field.
Okay.
Very lumpy.
Squawking. Why is that udder squawking?
Pom-noms or bread? Pom-noms or bread, Richard E. Grant? Pom-noms or bread?
Bread.
Yeah?
Bread. I suffer from misophonia.
Ah, you know,
which is identified 20 years ago officially.
Sorry to immediately make the sound. Though.
Yeah. So the sound of the poppadom being crunched near you is literally brings the red mist of rage over my... And I wish I didn't suffer from this, but I do. So the sound of a poppadom is unacceptable.
So is all of your menu going to be quite soft foods?
You old age foods you don't need teeth for.
Sort of silent.
No, but
silent
if I eat an apple,
food.
I will go and eat it in a corner on my own so that I don't have to infringe that noise on somebody else close by, because I know what that does to me if somebody's doing it close to me.
Oh, that's nice. So I've never met a sort of an empathetic misophone before.
Yeah. Oh, are you a misophone?
But it's always about, when anyone talks about it, it's always about what it sounds like to them and how it makes them feel. Yeah. I've never met anyone who's gone, and I also don't want anyone else to hear that. So you have to privately eat crunchy foods.
Yeah. No, I'll go and sit in the front row of the cinema on my own with a box of popcorn, because I know that the sound of that is... it's only I will be hearing how awful that sound is.
Yeah.
Because if I'm near anybody else that's doing it, I'm...
So does the
murderous.
Sound of yourself eating make you feel weird?
I get used to it because greed overtakes the... greed overtakes the misophonia part of it. But yeah, I find that even crunching toast, I think, God, can't you just do it? This is the one time I've wished that I could be deaf so that I couldn't hear the sound of it.
Have you been at one of your own film premieres and yours is sat at the front on your own and everyone else is at the back and you're there eating popcorn at your own film premiere?
No, you go at the beginning to do the press stuff because you're required to do that in your contract, and then you don't stay and watch it.
I've noticed that.
Yeah.
Sometimes I've gone to watch a film at a film premiere and been excited and everyone's there at the front. Oh, all the stars are here. And they all leave out the fire escape and you're like, what the? Chalamet, where are you going?
I know very few actors that like watching themselves in stuff.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
The only analogy I have is that unless you're a voyeur, would you want to watch a replay of yourself having sex?
Mm.
Because it's the actor doing it that is... pleasurable.
Yes.
You know, it's the making of the movie or whatever you're doing, but having to rewatch it afterwards, you go, oh my God, is that what it looks like? Is that what it... Oh, no. God, so it's gruesome.
Looks like it's just had a beef bourguignon.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Can't watch this.
Exactly. Exactly right. So,
is an actor who enjoys watching their own stuff a red flag?
No, because that's passing judgment on somebody. Sure. No, I don't know, because some people, you know, I'm sure there'll be critics out there who'll say, well, that's your problem. You should have been watching yourself to improve. So I don't know. No, it's the actor doing it that's, you know, that's...
I think comics have a similar thing, right?
Yeah, I can't, if I'm literally putting out a comedy special,
yeah,
I can watch it during the edit, watch the final version once, and then I'm never watching it again.
Yeah.
Like, and that's the most I'll ever watch myself is when I'm literally putting the thing out. and releasing it.
Yeah.
And what do you feel? It's good.
What does that make you feel when you watch it? For that final
That's relief, because that's like, okay, I've got it. I've got it edited the way I want it. It's fine. But if I watched it one more time after that, when it's finished, I would just be like, shut up, you boring wanker.
Yeah. Get the machete out.
Be the worst. Yeah. Get the machete through the TV. That's it.
Yeah. Whereas you love watching yourself over
I love watching myself.
Do you?
When I watch Having James, sex? I think, shut up, you boring wanker.
Yeah. Often that's the bit we have to edit out.
So it's the yin and yang of your relationship.
Yeah.
No, I can't bear it either. But
you can't.
It's easier when you're watching it for an edit or something because you're in another brain. It's almost like you're not watching yourself because you're watching it for the edit. But I would never, certainly for pleasure, never watch anything I'm involved in. Mm. And a lot of people would agree.
Paul Benito here has to edit this. And at some point in the future, he's going to be sitting there editing a conversation about editing. That is going to be quite the day for him.
So you're just sitting here waiting, getting the scissors in between the bits where there's big gappy pauses and thinking, get the fuck a move on.
A good plate of bread at the beginning of a meal, you know the rest of the meal's going to be good.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Warm. Got to be warm.
Warm. Olive oil.
Olive oil. Yeah. Is that what you'd go for?
Yeah, I don't eat butter. Olive oil. Yeah.
You're dipping it?
Oh, dipping it in so that it all absorbs. Nothing like good bread.
Balsamic there as well, or are you just keeping it just olive oil?
Yeah, I can have some of that too. But I like it just olive oil straight up. No, it's not essential. Not even the olive oil. It's essential.
It's a lovely bread.
Yeah, lovely bread.
Your dream starter?
A bowl of linguine with fresh white crab meat.
Oh.
Medium chili and coriander, lemon and olive oil.
Not enough people use the pasta as a starter hack.
Yeah.
I love it when it comes out to play.
Well, you know, when you go to Italy, they give you a starter-sized bowl. You never get this mountain of food that you get in an English restaurant where there's so much pasta that you then have to go and get into a bed for half an hour. Yeah, it just gives you enough to, you know, five or six mouthfuls to get you ready for the main course.
Of course, here you're really lining up the seagull with the crab meat. You better get that machete. You better be fast with that machete.
Yeah, absolutely. But if you have one of those, because it was in England and you had one of those heater things nearby, you could always just thwack it towards the heater. I'm going to have animal rights people coming after me. I love seagulls. I love birds.
We're talking about a specific seagull who's not a good egg, this guy.
This is a fictional seagull who's very aggressively wants all of your food.
Yes, the Don Corleone of seagulls.
So I think it's fine to...
I think it'd be interesting
if
the seagull got into your crab spaghetti, because I don't think... Could you suck spaghetti through a beak?
Oh, yeah, it'd be interesting to see.
Yeah, they could. Yeah.
You reckon?
Yeah, I think it's possible.
Do you think if Lady and the Tramp was about seagulls, you think that scene would work?
Don't think so.
They can't kiss, can they?
They can't kiss.
Because they just click.
Beaks back and forth. So, yeah, the spaghetti itself, it'd be quite difficult. They would do a lot of takes to get that. Yeah, I think with the spaghetti slurping.
Yeah. Is this something that you cook yourself at home?
Yes.
Yeah?
Regularly.
And is the dream meal the one that you've cooked?
No. I have somebody else cook it for me. Yeah.
Do you make the pasta from fresh?
No.
The crab meat, are you using, you know, is there a place you go to for your crab meat?
Yeah, there's a great fishmonger called Sandy's, run by a guy called Stuart in Twickenham.
Lovely.
Which is about three or four miles away from where I live in Richmond. And he has absolutely amazing white crab meat.
Mm. And so you make the trek for it, get it back. Richmond's a lovely part of town.
So beautiful.
Ever see Ted Lasso being filmed?
No, I haven't. No, but I know that it's filmed on Richmond Green at the Cricketers Pub.
I bet if you just walked over there one day while they were filming and went, hello, I'm Richard E. Grant. Oscar-nominated actor. Do you mind if I...
Flatterer.
Do you mind if I get in this scene?
It's a very weird... weird thing. I don't know whether you feel this, but when you see other people filming stuff, there's always a feeling of like, oh, why am I not in that? Or have I been excluded? So you don't feel like you're worthy enough to go and, you know, show your face.
If you see it happening, you're clearly not busy that day and you can... Yeah. They didn't even do availability.
Yeah, when you see that, you know, somebody sold out Wembley Stadium or the O2, and the name is taller than, you know, this building.
Yes.
Does that make you want to run in and go, yeah, I must see this stand up?
No, luckily it's a very bad venue. So I just think,
it's the right answer.
I think, what a sucker! What an absolute sucker!
I can't get over the courage that you must have to be able to stand up and make people laugh, because there's no in between that, you know, you. as an actor, you think, well, if you're doing a drama and it's really quiet, you're hoping that they're blubbing their eyes out or so move. But if it's a comedy and there's no response, you know that you've died, don't you?
Yeah, but then we've got the opposite where we desperately need that response from them to let us know it's going well. And if I was ever doing serious acting on stage, I would be terrified every time they're not. If I was doing a serious bit,
yeah,
I would have no gauge to know if that. I wouldn't have the thing of like, oh, I trust that they're feeling emotional during this. I would just be like, I'm tanking, it's going bad, because I need that reassurance from them.
Yeah, but have you ever been in done your...
Every time I've done anything like
and
a wedding...
And then there's been no response.
If I've done like a wedding speech and I'm doing a serious bit within the speech where it's a heartfelt bit about how much I, you know, love my friend.
Yeah.
Like, and obviously that's not engineered to get laughs at all.
Yeah.
So I say the bit and I just feel like, no, I want to jump out of a window.
No, but what I'm asking is that have you, where something is obviously... engineered to get a laugh, yes. And you get no laugh as tumbleweed. Oh, yeah. How does that has that ever happened to you?
Yeah, constantly on a weekly basis, yeah. And it feels horrible every time.
Horrible,
really mortifying.
Yes,
you feel so embarrassed. You can't believe you're up there doing it. Why am I doing this? I clearly can't.
So what keeps you doing it?
I've got no place else to go. We made our own beds now, haven't we?
Yeah, also, we've been doing it long enough and have had enough good nights to realise that they all weren't flukes.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
And you want to improve as well.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think the thing that means you keep doing it is that I would like to get better. And so I keep on going back to try and improve.
And what do you think about the sell-by date of a comedian?
It's short.
Because I've been friends with Steve Martin for over 30 years since working on LA Story, and he said, in his opinion, very often people's careers, and especially in comedy, are over 5 years before the person realises that it's over.
Yeah.
And that gave me a sort of pube-straightening moment of thinking, you know, has my time come and gone? You know what I mean? But it's, and I just wonder with comedians, because you will know them, and I know you can name them, and of course I'm not going to name them, people who used to be funny, who still are doing the same shtick, and it's just not so funny anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Or they've, you know, time has changed.
Yeah, it's interesting, Steve Martin sort of deliberately ended his stand-up career way before that point.
Well, he said, he told me that, and he's written about it as well, that by the time he got to the stadium shows, he was the first comedian that had done stadiums, that the audience knew all his material and was saying it back to him. He said, where do you go from there? Because it had taken him so many years to get to that point that to then come up with fresh material was just impossible. So he thought, well, just better to stop.
Yeah. Also, I think that it's weird, like you say, Steve Martin, actually, because like, I think that... shelf life-wise, like, I remember seeing, is it Paul K, Dennis Pennis?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
In character.
Saying to
Steve Martin,
did you used to be funny?
Why aren't you funny anymore? Yeah, whatever it was.
It was in 1991 at the premiere of LA Story.
Right. Whereas now, yesterday, you know, I was speaking to someone and they're going, you've got to watch Only Murders in the Building. It's so good. It's so funny. So, like, you know, I guess... doesn't mean that you're done.
No.
You know, you can go through phases of like, going, I need to pick this back up. I need to get back in touch with this. And him and Martin Short now are just like incredible. And they were before, and, you know, ebbs and flows. So, you know, hopefully, Ed, that's our careers.
Well, it's just like food, the sell-by date of comedians.
Yeah.
You just ignore it and then hope it's fine in a couple of weeks.
Take it out of the fridge, take the sticker off and go, this is delicious.
That's what
it's changed colour.
Like my career, in a few years, I'm just going to scrape the mould off and keep going.
You heard it here. Ben, keep that in.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Today's episode of Off Menu is sponsored by Aura. James, are you ready to win Mother's Day?
I am, Ed. I want to cement my reputation as the best gift giver in the family. I'm going to give my mom an Aura digital picture frame preloaded with decades of family photos.
May I say, James, I absolutely love the class and elegance with which you use the word mom, because this is for US listeners.
All of your moms deserve a good Aura digital picture frame preloaded with decades of family photos.
Yeah, I think your mum's going to love looking back on your childhood memories, seeing what you're up to today, seeing what you were up to back in the day, and even better, with unlimited storage and an easy-to-use app, you can keep updating mom's frame with new photos, so it's the gift that keeps on giving, James.
Ed, answer me this. Who is the best gift giver in your life?
I'd probably say my wife is a very good gift giver. Not that my mom is not a fantastic gift giver, but my wife's very good at little surprise things. She says, I've only got you a few things, and then there'll be little surprises, things that we've seen throughout the rest of the year. I'll say to my wife, I like that, and then I forget about it, and then on the day, there's some lovely little gifts there for me that remind us of the year that we've just spent together.
Oh, if you like being reminded of stuff, may I suggest photographs?
That's a very good point, James. I think we should get ourselves an Aura digital picture frame and put some of our wedding photos on them.
Right now, Ed, Aura has a great deal for Mom's Day, Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting auraframes.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That's AURAframes.com. Use code OFFMENU at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply.
Your dream main course, Richard Grant. Your dream main course. You've had this lovely linguine.
A barbecue seafood platter of lobster, giant prawns from Mozambique or Madagascar, and squid. Just those three ingredients, covered in garlic butter.
Mm. Wow. I mean...
Is that right?
Yeah, yes. But I'm just picturing this seagull.
Yeah.
It's going insane.
Well, you take the lobsters out and you put the shell on the edge of the platter, and then you know it can come and take that because you'll be attracted by bright pink colour.
Keep it busy with the lobster shell. Yeah.
Exactly.
That's delicious. Not going to work for long, though, is it? With the prawn sat there and the squid, he's going to be straight back over.
Yeah, yeah. Oh. Well, I thought you could trick me. I'm the seagull, man.
That does sound absolutely amazing.
Good.
Yeah, a nice, simple, you know, not doing too much with it. Garlic butter.
Yeah.
You've barbecued them, but it's not too much on it. Just
a bowl
really
of lemon
the quality.
To squeeze, you know. Mm.
Yeah, yep. The quality of the ingredients.
Oh, and some lemon mayonnaise, homemade.
Oh, yeah. Oh, homemade.
Yep.
By yourself?
Yes.
By your own hand?
Nothing like it.
And
it
what?
Beats Hellman's, all those other ones, into a cork jar.
Have you got a secret to making the best lemon mayonnaise?
Just put lots of lemon in it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Secret ingredient is lemon.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's
lemon,
a real
egg yolks, Dijon mustard, and yeah, just go for it.
How Oil. Are you eating all of this stuff?
With your hands.
Is it with hands?
Oh, yeah, with your
is
hands.
Is it a bib? Are you wearing a bib?
Oh, yeah.
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 What does the bib say on it? Hungry boy?
Hungry boy, yes. Swazi boy eats here.
Getting with your hands, and are you going back and forth between the different meats, or are you, you know, one at a time? Are you that kind of person?
Oh, I'm not fussy in that way. I'm just very, very greedy. I just have my hands on the whole lot.
A tornado.
Yeah. Yeah, tornado.
All of it, one by one. Is there any actors that like you've been doing films with and then you've gone to eat together and that you would share a meal like this with ever? Have you ever taken...
No, I wouldn't share them.
Come on, let's not bring that word up.
Yeah.
Wouldn't share them with...
Melissa McCarthy's a fantastic person to eat with.
Do you know what? I was thinking in my head, because I love that film that you did together.
Oh, thank you.
Can You Ever Forgive Me?
Yeah, she was so generous and funny and all the things that you'd hope that she might be from her screen persona. And she loves eating and she loves food. So it's a real delight to eat with her.
Do you have any good meals during the filming of that? Did you get to spend much social time together?
Yeah, all the time, because we were the only two people, you know, almost all the scenes were between the two of us. So, but on the morning of the Oscars, I'd gone to LA with my daughter, and I said, I called her up the night before and I said, this is such an out-of-body experience being in LA, and you and Ben Falcone, husband, and their two daughters live not in the center of Los Angeles, they live on the valley side of Studio City. And I said, if I bring all the ingredients, can we make, you know, scrambled eggs and toast and everything at your house and just have a normal, like a family day before we have to get dressed and get into a limousine at 2 o'clock in the afternoon? And she said, that's a great idea. So that's what we did. We trampolined. I cooked everything. And they had never had scrambled eggs cooked with olive oil instead of butter, and they thought this was a great improvement. So that was a very memorable meal that we had together.
Oh, that's lovely.
That's really nice.
Normalized everything, because we all, and the other thing was that we knew that by the time you get that, because you have to leave at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, by the time you get food at 9 o'clock at night, you're ravenous. You can't take food into the Kodak Theatre. And we both of us knew that we weren't going to win, so we stuffed ourselves to the gunwales on that morning.
You had a wonderful time with the nomination. It was nice to see someone really enjoy just being nominated.
How could you not?
Well,
you
too know. Many people don't. I'd say people don't seem like they're enjoying it and really going, oh, this is great. I've been nominated. This is enough. And you really, it was a joy for everyone to see. I think you enjoy that moment in your career.
Well, it was, I knew that it would never, ever happen again. And it was a once in a lifetime chance. So I, grabbed every ounce of it that I could. And I met everybody that I'd wanted to meet in my whole life. It was brilliant. Yeah. Like Madame Tussauds come to life. And I've written about it in my book too. No holds barred about what it's actually like to go there and meet all those people.
Who was the person you were most excited to see?
Oh, Barbara Streisand, of course, because I've been following her career for 53 years and I got to meet her. That felt to me like winning the gold rather than the actual thing that night.
Did she perform at that one? Cause
she didn't know. No, she didn't.
So you got on a night off. That's good. Even better, I imagine.
Got her a night off, exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
More
chatty.
You didn't trampoline after the scrambled eggs, did you?
Yeah, we did.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Asking for trouble.
Yeah. Swam, did everything, yeah.
You eat those scrambled eggs, go on a trampoline and go to the Oscars?
Yes.
Was it trampolining in the black tie, or did you get changed after the trampoline?
Oh, no, got changed, at 12:30 or whatever, because they send round people to dress you and paint your face and do your hair and all of that. So you feel like one of these shop mannequins. They just come and paint you up and you just have to stand still. It's the most bonkers experience I've ever had going to that whole event.
Did you go to some of the after parties afterwards? There
all
must
of
be
them.
Food there. You
went all of them. Yeah. It ended up with, there was a Olivia Colman and Amy Adams were having a lock-in at Betty Davis's old house. And Olivia Colman came up to me. I never worked with her, but I met her a few times, and she came up at the Vanity Fair party, and she said, slipped a note in my hand, and she said, we're having a lock-in. This is the address. Get the driver who's brought you here to go there. So we went there at about, I don't know, midnight and crawled out of there at dawn. We all got to hold Olivia's Oscar, and she had karaoke. And I can remember singing David Bowie's Life on Mars with enormous passion and gusto. And my daughter, I just looked around, my daughter just had her head in her hands in deepest shame. And she said, oh my God, thank God this is a lock-in that nobody, she said, if this iPhone footage of this ever appears anywhere, she said, I will disown you as my father. It has yet to appear. Yeah, so that's how the night ended. Began with scrambled eggs at Melissa's house in the morning and lock-ins doing karaoke with Olivia Colman.
That is a good
Amy
day.
Adams. Yeah, it was a really good day.
No matter what happens in the middle, that's a good day.
Yeah,
and I had a 40-minute conversation with Barbara Streisand in the middle of it at the Governor's Ball. So, win. So who's the you've asked me who is the person that you are most excited to meet. Who out of both of you is the person that you either want to meet or have met that you thought, wow, I can go to my grave now?
I don't know, for ages on the pod, it was Ainsley, right? We wanted to get Ainsley on the pod.
Ainsley Harriott was our dream guest for a long time.
Dan. Ainsley was.
Tick.
Yeah.
We wanted Ainsley on the pod. I think in terms of like...
And did Ainsley deliver?
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
did he ever?
He knows what he's there for.
Did he ever?
He brings it. He brings Ainsley.
Yeah. It was recorded delivery.
Yeah.
So there's nobody left now. There's nobody that you have your sights on.
We haven't replaced, the wish. That
Kathy Burke and The Rock.
Oh, yeah, we've been trying to get Kathy Burke since day one. We've been trying to get.
And why won't she do it?
She's just...
she's a brilliant guest.
I mean, she's amazing, isn't she?
But like, amazing.
Some people just don't have the time. They can't make it work date-wise. Who knows? But we never... Yeah, I mean, The Rock. Kathy Burke and The Rock. I mean, if ever a film came out and the two leads were Kathy Burke and The Rock, I think I would pre-order it on Blu-ray. But without even seeing it.
So you would like Kathy Burke and The Rock in here
at the same time.
At the same time,
and then workshop a film script.
I'd be happy to take them separately.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay,
but maybe on a day like today, when we're doing like a bunch in a row, having them back to back so they can meet each other.
Yeah,
because sometimes you have guests who are back to back and they do meet each other one on the way in, one on the way out, and it's quite nice to see, Jack McBrayer meet Rose McGowan for the first time.
Yeah.
And it's quite nice to be present at that. So, you know, I'd like them, you know, back to back, The Rock meets Kathy Burke, see them have that conversation. Then my life would be complete.
So if I can persuade Kathy Burke to come on here, I don't know The Rock, what would I get in return?
Oh, what would
probably
you get?
Some sort of plaque.
I think you would get
plaque.
I think we would make sure that you're...
Yeah, Ben the producer's nodding with his headphones on. Yeah,
I was going to say, we'd make sure that Richard gets his dream meal for real.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's a deal. Without the seagull.
Yeah, without the seagull, but we can make sure you get...
Listeners, we're invisibly shaking hands on that.
Yeah, yeah. Ainsley will cook it for you.
Okay.
Yeah, it's done.
And you can have a plaque as well.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Bit of everything. Let's get onto your dream side dish. You've got all this lovely seafood, barbecue seafood platter. What are you having on the side?
Big tub of homemade mayonnaise, so which I've already mentioned. That's a side dish.
The side
dish.
Is the big tub of mayonnaise.
You don't need anything else.
Absolutely
big
fair enough.
Big tub of mayonnaise.
Big tub of mayonnaise, just stinking in the sun.
I just, there's something so luxurious and then just and quite sort of carnal as well, of like getting a big bit of lobster and...
Taking the whole lobster out of the shell and then dunking it into that big bowl of lemon mayonnaise, just dunking it in, mold and salt sprinkled on top of it, and then stuffed it. I've got a bag of it in my pocket, which I keep with me at all times, mold and salt.
Oh, I thought because... it was the mayonnaise. I thought it was the lemon mayonnaise you had a bag of.
No, because...
But just for the listener, that is a... that bag, what's that made of, the bag? What material?
Oh, it's a calico bag with a Union Jack
that has a Union Jack on it that's full of salt that you always carry around in your pocket
everywhere, because any restaurant, anybody's house that I've ever been into, they say, oh no, it's all salted in advance. You go, no, believe me, it never has enough for me.
When you were chatting to Barbara Streisand, was the bag of salt in your pocket?
It was, yeah.
That's great.
It was
great,
because we'd just been at the governor's ball dinner and so yes, it was there.
So it was always there all night long.
Yeah.
And I love that.
There's some place, if you walk in and say you've got a bag of salt in your pocket, they're going to really misinterpret what you mean by that, Richard.
Especially some showbiz circles.
Yeah, well, I've been through the airport, you know, hand luggage, and you have to explain what these white crystals are in there. But I should have shares in Maldon salt, honestly.
Maldon's gold standard stuff.
Gold standard. Yeah.
We've both really got into Hal and Mon as well, which is a fantastic Welsh salt.
Ah, I don't know about that one.
Enjoy that, Richard. Okay. Yeah, it's very, very good.
I don't know how dedicated you are to the Maldon brand, but Hal and
completely.
Mon, yeah.
I should have shares in it, the amount of money I've spent on it. What's the one? Welsh one is called what?
Hal and Mon.
Hal and Mon. Can you say that with a Welsh accent?
No,
I need a coach.
Yeah. Okay, Hal and Mon.
Let me get on the floor and I can do it for you.
Well, let's go into your dream drink then. Your dream drink to go with this meal.
Just resisting doing
freshly
any
freshly squeezed
quotes.
Orange juice and a glass of ice.
So many with nail quotes. Yeah, obviously. Sorry, we were too busy thinking about with nail.
A glass of fresh orange juice, fresh squeezed orange juice and a glass of ice.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah.
So very why cheap. Are they separate in this case?
Because if you order, I always ask for the glass of ice separately in a restaurant, because otherwise they'll give you the glass with the ice already in it, with about a thimble full of orange juice or whatever the drink is.
Yes.
Whereas if it's separate, you get the full glass. Mm. And then you can make it as cold as you want.
As you go.
Yeah. And it's not diluted by the time it's come from the bar to you by ice and water and all that. So that's why.
Lovely. And it's freshly squeezed.
Yeah. Always.
So where's the... Because, like, there was a place... You know the orange... Right. Oh, here's something I don't think we spoke about on the podcast before. I'm quite excited to speak about, but maybe we have spoke about it. But there are some places that have an orange juicing machine that looks like a Willy Wonka contraption.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Where it's like being flipped, like a Wallace and Gromit thing.
Absolutely.
It's like the wheels
and they cost a fortune.
All round. And that is the best orange juice.
It is the best orange juice.
I love it.
And I know, because I did a documentary series called Hotel Secrets for Sky Atlantic about 10 years ago, and I stayed at the Gritti Palace on the Grand Canal in Venice, and they took me into the kitchen because I said, this is the best fresh orange juice I'd ever drunk. Wow. And they said, this is the machine, and it was exactly what you've just described.
I love those.
With machines. All the gestures too, which, you know, your listeners can't actually see.
Yeah, I remember the first time seeing that. It's a place in near Finsbury Park. Josh Widdicombe is a fantastic comic. You've probably heard of him.
I know who he is.
We both lived around there as open spots, and we'd go to this cafe to write together every time and try and figure out how to be funny. And they had one of those machines there, and I remember seeing that machine for the first time and going, I bet the orange juice is shit from there. It's all bells and whistles. It's all just a big fit.
That's what I thought.
All theatrics. Yeah. It's going to be bad.
Yeah.
Had a glass there once, absolutely blew my mind. Yeah. So happy. Didn't want any material that day. Should have.
Exactly.
Should have. I could have used it now.
But you're so full of vitamin C.
Yeah.
That's the secret of your beautiful skin.
Yeah, that's exactly.
Orange juice.
You could have done a bit about those machines. That's a very you bit to do.
Yeah. I think I was worried that not enough people would know the Wallace and Gromit orange juice machines. But, you know, maybe now. It's still time.
Are you squeezing at home?
Yep, I am.
What?
Yes. I am squeezing one out at home.
What are you using to squeeze? Because you don't have one of the contraptions, do you, Richard?
No. I've got one of those that cost about $5.99 from Robert Dias.
Yeah.
A little white thing, and you just, you know, you press the orange on the top of it, and it goes, and it squeezes everything out of it.
Oh, that's good, moves around itself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good.
Then you get everything out.
Yeah.
My dad bought me a juicer, but it's one of those ones that's just more like an ornament. I don't think we've ever used it. It's like stainless steel, like it's
Philippe Stark
like,
thing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. On the
looks like a sculpture.
Looks like a sculpture of a rocket.
Yeah. And the juice runs down the legs.
Yeah.
It's a whole lot of bollocks.
It's pointless.
To me.
Yeah.
No. Looks nice.
It looks lovely, yeah.
I love this fresh, like, when you squeeze something like that citrusy fruit, the smell, the immediate smell is
nothing
so
like
good.
It. So I assume you would choose alcohol for your dream drink.
I guess I would. But listen, this is the first time we've had orange juice on the podcast as the dream drink, which is exciting. I mean, you're right in assuming a lot of people choose booze. Some people don't. But, like, we haven't had a lovely, freshly squeezed orange juice before. And I think a lot of people listening to this are going to feel seen because, like, I think it is a hugely popular drink, but it's never been represented on this pod. Anything you want to say to all the orange juice heads out there?
Squeeze on, baby. Squeeze me till my pips squeak.
So we arrive at your dream dessert.
Christmas pudding.
Yeah.
Straight in.
Merry
Christmas. No messing around.
It's my dad's dream dessert.
Yeah, I eat one once a month because in January they are literally throwing them outside stores on sales.
Yeah.
They're giving them away because nobody wants them.
Yeah.
And I've got an enormous supply of them.
Wow.
I've got a pantry and I eat them once a month. I have to ration myself because otherwise I would be the size of
Father Christmas.
Yeah, exactly, Father Christmas. Well, I think there's nothing like a Christmas pudding. Oh. It divides people. There are many people who loathe it.
I love Christmas.
I've come to like it. I don't think I liked it when I was younger, and now I absolutely love it.
I'm glad I didn't like
food
it
of
when
the
I was
gods.
Younger. Yeah. I'm glad I've been able to appreciate it more now. And I hope that continues for the rest of my life. I hope
there's
food that I think is garbage now that I like in 10 years' time. I'm going to be so bored, man.
Yeah. 20 years ago, I belonged to the Pudding Club of England.
God bless
you. Where you would meet once a month, and then they would just bring out a tiny amount of food at the beginning as a starter, and then platters of bread and butter pudding, Queen's pudding, toad in the hole, all of those. Sticky toffee pudding, and you would just eat that, gorge on it.
Well, where do I join that club?
I'm sure you can go online and find it.
How have they not reached out to me?
I don't know.
I should be the president.
You should be.
I love it. Are you having custard or brandy butter or double cream? What are you having with this?
No dairy. No custard, no double cream. Absolutely revolting.
Brandy olive oil?
No brandy. Allergic to alcohol. But lychee sorbet.
Just
bring in a bit of cold and something slightly acidic against that incredible rich, dark, delicious fruit of the gods. Yeah.
Ed's dad, so I believe...
And now me. This is something
I do. And
now
Ed. And now me.
Yeah.
Because Ed told us on... I believe, I might be wrong here...
Yeah.
That Sue Perkins chose Christmas pudding as her dream dessert.
Your memory is mad.
If I remembered that right.
Sue Perkins.
I might have missed it. Did she?
Yeah.
Yeah, she did.
She's a goddess.
So, Sue Perkins chose Christmas pudding. During that episode, Ed said that his dad, and his passes down to Ed, will, on Boxing Day, probably a few days afterwards as well, just cut up rectangles of Christmas pudding and fry them in butter and eat them. And at the time, my girlfriend had made a massive Christmas pudding at Christmas and bought a Marks & Spencer's massive Christmas pudding as a backup in case that one didn't work.
Yeah.
And then we went somewhere else for Christmas to a different relative's and had two massive Christmas puddings. So by March, or whenever we were doing the Sue Perkins interview, I still had loads of Christmas pudding. Ed said that made me go, I've got to try that now. And then I think for every day for too long, I was frying Christmas pudding in butter and eating.
Fried Christmas pudding.
It is one of the greatest. But my problem is that I've never managed. I have at other people's houses, but if I've had Christmas pudding at home, I've eaten the whole thing. So there's never been leftovers to then fry up.
Mm-hmm.
But I know exactly what you're talking about because I've had it at other people's houses.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, so good.
Oh, food of the gods.
Have you had one this month yet?
No, I'm having it at the end of the month.
So it's always the end of the month.
Yeah. How does it feel eating Christmas pudding, say, in July or August?
Glorious. Absolutely perfect. No problem whatsoever. It's like drinking something ice cold, you know, in the middle of deepest, coldest January. It's no problem for me.
Yeah, I found that. I found eating that Christmas pudding in the middle of the year actually made me feel even better.
Yeah.
It's like a mouthful of happiness. You just feel so good.
And you're like, no one tells me what I can and can't do.
Yeah.
They're my rules.
Yeah, and there's something sort of almost indecently pleasurable about the fact that you're doing it at the time of the year when you're not supposed to be doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, even though I'd be doing it every once a month, you know, for years and years and years, I still get that tingle of thinking, well, it's like Christmas Day all in one in the middle of July.
How many chapters of A Pocket Full of Happiness are about you eating Christmas pudding?
Oh, yeah. 75.
Well, I'm going to read your menu back to you now, Richard, see how you feel about it.
All right.
You would like ice-cold sparkling water in a glass full of ice.
Yes, please.
Poppins or bread, you would like a lovely bread with some olive oil.
Yes, please.
Starter, linguine with fresh white crab meat, medium chilli and lemon and olive oil. Main course, barbecue seafood platter, lobster, giant prawns and squid with garlic butter all over it.
Yes.
Side dish, a big tub of your homemade lemon mayonnaise. Drink, freshly squeezed orange juice, plus a glass of ice and dessert, Christmas pudding with lychee sorbet.
The dream.
The absolute dream.
I'm living the dream. Yep.
Sounds great.
That is so nice. The garlic butter.
Yes.
Oh, he's got another question.
Yes.
Are we okay with the butter? Doesn't that need to go
back in
the
oven? Yeah, because if it's cooked, you know, I cook with butter, but I would never put butter on bread.
I see. So it's the...
Yeah, it's just cooked in. So if you know, I cook steak, cook it in butter, there's nothing... Yeah.
So you
finer than doing that.
You could do Christmas pudding cooked in butter.
Oh, yeah. Oh, but I certainly couldn't put a slab of cold butter on top of a piece of Christmas pudding or on a piece of bread.
My dad
find
could.
That gagging. Yeah,
yeah, yeah, exactly.
Your dad
could do that.
I guess if you're cooking steak in butter, that is like putting it back in the udder, right?
Yeah. It is indeed.
Yeah.
Yes. So great segue back to that.
Yeah.
Every time I cook a steak, I shout, "Reunited!" at the top of my voice.
Long time no see.
Thank you very much for coming to the Dream Restaurant, Richard.
Thank you very much for having me. It's been delicious.
Richard E. Grant there, James.
Wonderful.
What a delight.
Delicious menu. Lovely to hear his stories as well. Wonderful, friendly guy. Everything you'd hope for.
Truly charming.
Didn't say lighter fluid, so we didn't have to kick him out the Dream restaurant, of course.
Thank God for that. But he was never going to say lighter fluid.
No.
Although, how did he light the barbecue?
Uh-oh, we didn't ask that.
Kick him out! You must go and buy Richard E. Grant's new book, A Pocket Full of Happiness. It's published on 29th of September, that's tomorrow, 2022, in hardback, and it's published by Simon and Schuster. And it's also available in ebook and audio formats, James.
Oh, lovely. Keep squeezing, motherfuckers.
No, is that what you said?
Yeah. No.
Squeeze me, baby.
Squeeze me, baby. Well, somewhere
keep
in between that.
Keep squeezing, baby.
Keep squeezing, baby.
Squeeze me till my pips squeak.
Oh, yeah, squeeze me till my pips squeak. I like that.
Yeah.
I like squeeze me till my pips squeak.
I'm on tour, Ed Gamble, Electric. Do go and check that out, edgamble.co.uk for tickets.
And I'm always knocking about.
So go just have a chat with James.
Yeah, just have a chat. Well, no, leave me alone, actually.
Yeah, leave you alone. Go buy your book.
Yeah, yeah. If they like, Guide to Quitting Social Media.
Right, it's not me, is it? It is him doing this now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, I'm completely... My brain's not working.
Yeah.
My brain is absolutely not working. I turned it on for the actual interview, gave it all I had, loved it.
Yeah.
And then as soon as we stopped speaking to Richard, I turned it off again.
Yeah, gone.
And my brain's just not working. And I apologise to the listeners, you know. It must be frustrating, but listen... This room that we're sitting in is boiling. We've been here all day. I've got sweat patches the size of dinner plates under my arms. It's tough stuff.
Yeah, tough stuff.
You know, I'm woozy. I'm tired. I'm thinking, do I go to the gym tonight? Do I not go to the gym
tonight?
You're
not going to the gym tonight, man.
Probably not. Okay, I'm going to carry on watching The Sopranos.
In case you're wondering, it's 2022.
It's 2022. Just so you know, I'm halfway through season one.
Thanks very much for listening to the Off Menu podcast.
I made my offer, I couldn't refuse.
No, that's The Godfather. We'll see you next week.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer.
let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
This message comes from BOF sponsor eBay. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee. And you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. eBay gets it. So look for the blue check mark next to that thing you love and be confident that every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is checked by experts. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Lucy Beaumont.
And guess what? I'm Sam Campbell. If you enjoy, there's another podcast is coming out. Oh no, the podcast is out now.
Yeah. If people have enjoyed Off Menu, will they enjoy Lucy and Sam's Perfect Brains? I don't know.
There's a bit of crossover. We talk about a couple of food issues. We talk about cutlery, and that's near food. We reckon it's out now. Not soon, it's now.
Is it on all the platforms?
Oh, it absolutely is. If you like James and if you love Ed, you might get a kick out of this. But yeah, again, no pressure. But this one's out now. Lucy and Sam's Perfect Brains.